Radio.
Catholic Tradition and Personal Development. An interview with Sister Mary Prudence Allen, RSM, in the lead up to the Tradition Conference in July 2013. Thank you very much for joining me today, Sister Mary Prudence.
You're welcome. I'm glad to be here.
Oh, thank you. Now, you will be speaking at the Tradition Conference, which is coming up quite soon, early next month here in Australia. And you'll be speaking on religious traditions and how they influence personal identity and development. So the first question that I wanted to ask you was, how do religious traditions, and more specifically Catholic traditions, influence that personal identity and development in people?
Well, I think there are many different ways. It depends a lot on the experience of the particular person you're looking at or thinking about. But obviously, some of the basic ways are through the family dynamics, how the religion is lived in the family, and whether it develops a spirit of prayer, of community, of service to one another, of love. Another is through the model of the saints, and many different kinds of saints, but usually within the Catholic families or Catholic traditions, these lives of the saints are well known and serve as models, different kinds of models of people living with great charity and love for Christ, and then applied to all their neighbors. I think we have also, in the United States, there's a strong sort of tradition of Catholic education. Those who are blessed with being able to go to a very good Catholic school learn a lot more in terms of their formation, both in community and in intellectual and all-around activities. And Catholic University is the same thing. I think it depends a lot on the quality of all of these factors, and then how the individual person or people together live them out, the lives, the values. Now, that's a very broad answer to a broad question.
Yeah, no. Also, I just wanted to know, are these influences positive or negative, I guess you could say, the influences that a religion has on personal identity? I mean, I know in my own experience here in Australia, I'm not sure if it's the same in the United States, but on a political level, you see that anyone who cites religion in their formation of political opinions can be viewed as a little bit suspect, that you should kind of leave religion at the door, as it were. Mm-hmm. Is that view of religious influence on personal identity correct, or is that a little bit misguided? Does religion contribute something more beneficial to one's personal identity?
I think it can very strongly. A lot of the points here also that we're working with is that passage in Scripture, render unto Caesar what is Caesar's, but render unto God what is God. And one of the very important things we're looking at is the move of secular culture to make religion a privatized, just something that's not supposed to be part of the public square. But I believe that it's very important that it be part of the public square, that everybody be allowed to engage in both talking about faith and reason in the public square, be part of the discussion. In my own case, I'm a philosopher, so I tend to use arguments based on reason rather than just on faith. But there are times when faith is really important to be respected, especially in issues of conscience and things like that. So I would much rather see a very vibrant dialogue, debate. I love dialogues and debate, and I think that's where the political sphere really comes alive, is when people can really talk together and listen to each other for about what is very, very important to them.
So I guess my next question would be, what does a properly influenced personal identity look like when formed through religious tradition or Catholic tradition? What is that meant to look like, I guess, in the fully formed person?
Well, I think it, in many ways it has many different looks, as because each person's personality flourishes in unique and unrepeatable ways. But there are certain characteristics that John Paul II, Karol Wojtyła, before he was named a pope, he wrote a lot about this, and some of the basic characteristics is that that person is interiorly free and can make acts that are based on really the common good, that they are concerned about the good of the whole, of each and every person and of themselves, that they have an ability to integrate their emotions and their sense experience and all their values in, and work as a self-governed person. So they're not, I can put it in a negative way, they're not driven by their impulses or in some ways where they're not even aware of why they're doing what they're doing. So that they freely choose the values that they have and that hopefully those values are for the common good of the culture and the family, the people they're close with. I don't know if that helps. Those are general statements. But then each person who does that will flourish in a different way from the next one, because what they're working with, their experiences, their gifts, their talents, their opportunities are different in some respects.
I guess following up from that is that it does seem, in my own experience, popular today to exclude religion from the upbringing of children, from the formation of children. I guess out of a desire to let children decide for themselves and to kind of keep them open-minded is usually the line that I'll hear. What's your response to this? Do you think that children or even adults are losing out because of this mentality in their development?
I think that the best way to answer that is by drawing an analogy. If you had someone say the same kind of thing about sports, that you should wait until you're an adult to decide what sports you want to do and not be given any instruction in different kinds of athletic activities, and what you would see is people, unless they were highly motivated interiorly, not developing the skills they may have to become really very good athletes. And I think it's the same thing with religion, particularly in Christian religion, because what we believe is that in baptism we're given faith, hope, and charity in potentiality, the gift of those three theological virtues. But like any muscle that you would use in athletics, you don't develop it without practicing. So you wouldn't expect someone who'd had no skill, nobody to help them to throw a ball or kick a ball or something in terms of football or soccer or cricket or the various sports that you play there, tennis. You wouldn't expect someone who's never done it to become an expert right away when they choose as an adult. You need to exercise the muscle and the skills. And I think the same thing is true about growing up with faith. I think you are depriving people tremendously by not allowing them to exercise their faith, the graces that are available to them through baptism for Christian. But I think the same thing would be true in Judaism or any other faith where there are traditions that need to be learned. And so I do think it's a very serious mistake. Now, grace can always flourish later on, and people can convert and there are people that do, but I don't understand that as a basic principle. I think no one would ever agree with it in sports or even music. Like, say someone has a great gift for music, well, no, we won't give you any lessons until you're an adult and decide, you know, then what instrument you want to play or whether you want to sing. So I think it's a fallacy to argue that way.
Okay, well, thank you very much for joining me today, Sister. I definitely look forward to hearing from you at the Tradition Conference, which will be occurring from the 2nd till the 5th of next month in July. Mm-hmm. And yes, I hope you have a good trip out here to Australia and enjoy your time here.
Well, thank you so much, Luke.
That was Sister Mary Prudence Allen, RSM, with Catholic Tradition and Personal Development. Sister Mary Prudence will be speaking at the Tradition Conference at the University of Notre Dame from the 2nd to the 5th of July 2013. For more interviews, talks and shows, visit cradio.org.au.